And we're looking in Psalm 81. This is to the chief musician upon Gittith, Psalm of Asaph. Sing aloud unto God our strength, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed, on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for testimony, when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with honey out of the rock, should I have satisfied thee. Now this is a glorious psalm, and while it is a psalm that seems to end on a note of lament, yet in reality, we understand and know that the Lord gave the nation of Israel to be what they were, that he might illustrate the greatness of his love. For the Lord did not cast them off, even though he should have. They should have, insofar as men would understand it, they should have had a very blessed and glorious journey to the promised land and in the promised land, except for one thing, and that is sin. Now, some would look at that and say, well, the Lord was trying the best he could, but he just couldn't do anything for them because they wouldn't let him. And that is how the Lord would present that to us. But he would present that to us to show us that we, the recipients of his grace and mercy in the day of Jesus Christ, we would be just like them, except for one thing. The Lord said that he would write his laws upon our heart, that he would bring his people out of darkness, that he would deliver us. And so the salvation of God's people is never conditional upon what they do, but it is always dependent on what he does. And he will withhold his blessing from his people, not conditionally, because waiting for them to see what they'll do. Now that's the big, thing that you hear today, is that God's just like, he's sitting up here in heaven and he's just wanting to bless people if they'll just let him. But he just can't do it because they just won't let him. And if they can somehow or other find the key and unlock this door to heaven, then God says, man, I'll pour out my blessings on them. That's not the case, because men don't have the key. They're not able to open the door. They wouldn't open it if they had the key. Apart from the grace of God to cause men to delight in the things of God, they wouldn't have anything to do with him. And he's showing that. He said, here, He says, I'm ready to pour out the blessings upon you. But you wouldn't listen. And that's the way that people are by nature. That's the way we are. I mean, if it wasn't that the Lord just blessed us, we'd never have any blessing. I mean, just think, if your blessing was dependent on what you did, if your blessing was dependent on your faithfulness, now, isn't that the message that you hear all the time? I mean, well, you know, if you'll just be faithful, God will bless you. Well, brother, you'll never have any blessings if that's going to be the criteria by which it's going to be. Because your faithfulness is unfaithful. The very best you can do. But the Lord said, though your faith fail, mine does not. Because he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we see here the picture of what it is when men are left to themselves. They're not going to receive the blessing of God. He said, I would have done this, but you didn't do it. And that's the way the law is. That's what the Lord will teach us. You see, the promises given to the national, to the natural nation of Israel were all conditional. Do this and ye shall live. Well, what happened? They didn't do it. And neither would we, except for the grace of God. For he is our performer. And so he says, sing aloud unto God our strength, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob, take a psalm, and bring hither the timbrel and pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. Now we've just been, Brother Al just been teaching us about that over in the book of Leviticus, about that blowing the trumpet on the new moon. That's what he said there in, I think it was chapter 23. Said that in the new moon, in the month, the seventh month, that's when they were to blow the trumpet. And that's what he's speaking about here. He says, blow the trumpet in the new moon, in the new month. That's what the new moon is. When the scripture speaks about the new moon, it's not talking about necessarily the sign of the moon, but it's talking about the fact that a new moon means a new month. Because the moon and the months, the word month actually comes from the word moon. So it's just, we know that the cycles of the moon are on a monthly basis. And so it is. He said, blow up the trumpet in the new moon at the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel. The Lord gave it to them. He commanded them to do this. It wasn't a thing that was optional. He didn't say, if when you feel like it, do this. He said, on the seventh month, the first of the month, the first of the month, blow these trumpets. He said, do this. This was a statute and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for testimony. Now he's speaking of Joseph, not specifically as Joseph, but specifically as the nation of Israel, as Joseph is put here as a type of the nation of Israel because of the fact that he was sold into Egypt and was brought out of Egypt, or he was, of course, we know that he died in Egypt, and the Lord he commanded that his bones, or Joseph commanded, he said, don't leave me here. He said, when y'all leave this place, because he knew by the grace of God and through faith in the Lord, he knew that the nation of Israel could not remain in Egypt forever. He knew that one day they would come out. And he said, don't leave me in Egypt. And the scripture says that they dug him up. And they took him out with them. They took his bones out. They didn't leave him there. And this he ordained in Joseph through the land, when he went out through the land of Egypt. He says, where I heard a language that I understood not. Now, there's one of the Psalms, I forget what the number of the Psalm is. It says, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? You know, you can't sing the Lord's song in a strange land because of the fact that the Lord has not called his people to have communion and fellowship with the ways of darkness. He said, come out from among them. How can we sing the Lord's song? He says here, I heard a language that I understood not. He said, this was not the language of my people in Egypt, so I called my people out of Egypt, even Joseph, as the nation of Israel. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots, that is, from the servitude of the Egyptians. He says, I brought him out. Now again, Joseph was dead when this occurred, but nonetheless, the Lord brought him out, so it doesn't make any difference whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And the Lord would teach us that. And thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. And so it is, as the children of Israel walked through the wilderness, they called upon the Lord, and he heard them. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. Now, the promise of God in the law was, if you'll do this, I'll do this. He says, do it. But what did they do? They didn't do it. But the glory of God is seen in the fact that he didn't ultimately cast them off, but he did deliver them time and time again, even though they were unfaithful continually. In their journey through the wilderness. And who could they blame? You know, what could they say? I mean, could they say, well, Lord, you didn't tell us right. No, he told them right. But the law was weak. It's weak through the flesh. You see, the law can't deliver a man. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. Now, isn't that amazing how that the Lord singled out the nation of Israel out of all the people in the earth, committed to them the oracles of God, that is, the prophets of God were given to Israel. There's not another people on the face of the earth to whom the Lord sent his prophets. He spoke unto the nation of Israel through the prophets who spoke the word of God to them. But what did they do? I mean, of all people on earth that should have had singularity of worship of the one true and living God, it should have been Israel, wouldn't it? I mean, when they, just the one thing of the Lord opening up the Red Sea and bringing them through, that should have been enough right there. But what did they do? Continually. They worship other gods. How can that be? I mean, you know, men look at that and in some ways they say, well, if I'd have been there, I wouldn't have ever departed. I'd have believed, you know. I'd have stayed faithful if I'd have seen those things that took place. And in the flesh, we marvel that they could have turned aside from following the Lord. But yet, we can understand it because we're the same way apart from the grace of God to keep us. I mean, it's just not in the heart of a man to serve and worship God faithfully except the Lord should constrain him to do so. But he said, don't let there be any strange gods in you. But they did let the strange gods in. The wisest man. There's not a wiser man until the Lord Jesus Christ, one greater than Solomon, is here for sure. The Lord Jesus Christ was wiser than Solomon, but Solomon among men stands out as the epitome of man's wisdom. And the Lord gave him great understanding of a lot of things, but what was the latter end of Solomon? His heart was turned aside and he worshipped the gods of his many wives that turned his heart aside. Because that's the way that men are by nature, the wisest of men. Men think that they can figure this out, and if they can get enough knowledge about it, they'll walk on, but they won't, except the Lord should keep them. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. They wouldn't listen to me. They wouldn't follow the way that I said to go. So I gave them up to their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. And such is the way of the Lord, often to turn his people to their own way. Now that's one thing. See, the man, the child of grace who's been awakened to see himself for what he is, the one thing that he fears more than anything else is that the Lord will leave him alone. The natural man, he wants to be left alone. Lord, just let me go on and do what I want to do. But the child of God, the man who's born again, he said, Lord, don't leave me. Don't let me be turned aside to walk the way I want to walk, because I know what I'll do. I'll turn away from you. And that's exactly what they did. So he says, I gave them up to their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. But they didn't. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Such is the promise and goodness of God. And the promise of God unto his people is all of these things. We know, as we see the unfolding of his grace, that these are the things that he has exactly done for his people. Because he did bring them into the promised land. They were unworthy to enter there. He should have destroyed them in the wilderness, shouldn't he? I mean, by all rights, he should have just left them. I mean, because they didn't do anything that he told them to do. But just because of his mercy, because he would demonstrate that he will be faithful even when his people are not, he did bring them into that land that he promised, and he did cause them to be in a land that flowed with milk and honey. And you know, that's quite a subject there in itself. We don't have time to go into that today. But a land that flows with milk and honey, what a place that is. You know, there's very few people that don't find honey to be a delectable thing. You know, you don't have to try. I've never had to persuade any of my kids to like something sweet. I mean, that's just natural, is it not? There are very few people. I mean, there probably are some people in the world that just don't like something sweet. But most people do. And the Lord said, I'm going to cause honey to flow out of the rock. And who is that rock? He's that rock that followed Israel in the wilderness. He's that rock from whence the water came that kept them from thirsting to death. He is that one that faithfully overshadowed them, the shadow of a great rock in the weary land. What a glorious one he is. And it is, as we come to this place today, to remember his death till he comes again, that his place as our Savior, as the rock of deliverance for the people of God, is made most plain. Because he gave us these things, and he said, this is my body which is broken for you, this is my blood which is shed. And we come here and we recognize that except he had given us this, we couldn't. What good would it do if we'd have all gotten together and said, well, I think we'll get us some bread and we'll get us some wine and we'll make us some kind of a ritual before the Lord. Like Cain. He said, well, you know, I'll just bring this to the Lord because it seems like a good thing to do. How could we have done it? We wouldn't have known what to do, number one, but how could we have done it? But the Lord gave it to his disciples, and he told them to remember his death in this fashion. And he said, as often as you do it, you do show the Lord's death. That is, you manifest it to the world, but more importantly, it's manifested to you each time that you take of this. As you take it with a proper consideration, that it is the body broken for us and the blood shed. May the Lord help us.